We're going to look at Scripture together today. We're going to be in Matthew's Gospel today, chapter 4. We're going to begin reading with verse 12. I do invite you to follow along with me as I read. The words will be on the monitors. You can follow along that way, or you can follow along either in your own Bible or in one of the pew Bibles that are there for you. Again, we're in Matthew's Gospel, the fourth chapter today. We're going to begin reading with verse 12. And as you're able, I'm going to invite you to stand as we read the Gospel. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali. On the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. People who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. See if this scenario might sound familiar to you. Let's say that someone decided to go visit their neighbor. And let's say that their neighbor lived 3-4 blocks away. Not that far. So they decided to walk as they went to see their neighbor. And as sometimes happens when you visit with neighbors who are good friends, when you share lots of things in common, when you have a great relationship, and when you can enter into those oh-so-sweet conversations, let's say that that scenario unfolded, and before this person realized it, it was dark outside. Well, no big deal, they think. But it is time to go home, right? I mean, it's dark. It's dark outside. Time to go home. So they make their goodbyes with their good friend, and they start off on foot toward home. And somewhere out of the darkness, where the person cannot see, comes a sound. A sound that's not easily identified. And this unidentified sound causes, let's just say, a mild injection of adrenaline into their blood system. Their heart begins to beat a little bit faster. The pace of their footsteps picks up just a little. The further they go, the faster that pace becomes. Until finally, beginning to get a bit short of breath by now, they round the final corner and see that someone has turned on the porch light for them. They breathe a sigh of relief, because there is the light. There's home. And all is well. Now, I'm sure that none of you are afraid of the dark or have ever been afraid either of the dark or in the dark. I'm sure that that's, you know, you're far advanced beyond that. But right. Okay. Sure. But light and darkness have been used for centuries to symbolically talk about and teach about the life of faith. And in this passage of Scripture, Matthew refers back to Isaiah, to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 4, when he said, "Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." And so Matthew saw in this particular passage from Isaiah that it was being fulfilled when Jesus established his headquarters there in Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee. And of course, for Matthew, Jesus was the light that had come to that region, that had dawned on those in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Because he had made his headquarters there. He had moved there. The same Jesus who said of himself later in John's Gospel in chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me," listen, "whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Whew. I don't ever have to walk in the dark again. And while there were those of the Jewish faith living in and around Capernaum, the majority of the population there would have been made up of Gentiles who didn't worship the one true God. And Matthew saw their world described also in that passage from Isaiah. People who sat in darkness and in the region and the shadow of death. Because they didn't know about God and they certainly didn't know God. And without realizing, they were sitting in the darkness, dead in their trespasses and their sins. And today, there are folks who sit in the same place as those Matthew described here, sitting in darkness. Spiritually, of course, they're in darkness and in the region in the shadow of death. They don't know God and they don't know about God. And when I first thought about that, I thought about the story of the man who set out to change the world. You may have heard it. I'm not going to be quoting it or anything, I'm sure. But so this man said, looked out at the situation in the world, decided the world needed to be changed. And so he says, "I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to change the world." But then he thought, well, now where should I start? Where should I begin? He said, the world is so large. There are so many people. I'm not sure I could figure out exactly where or with whom to begin. So he said, I know what I'll do. I'll start with my own country instead of the whole world. But again, he thought to himself, wow, there's still an awful lot of people in my country. I'm not sure I could figure out exactly where I needed to start there either. And so he said, maybe it'd be better if I started with my state. But the same argument kept raising itself. There's an awful lot of people in my state. Which one would I start? Which region? Where? How will I know? So he thought he was about to whittle it down to size when he said to himself, I know, I'll start in my own city. But which neighborhood? And which person in which neighborhood? Maybe that's still a little bit too much to bite off. I could start in my own family. But again, which one would I start with? And it finally dawns on him, and he says to himself, yes, okay, I know. I'll start with myself. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. Because if we ever hope to change the world, we're going to have to start with ourselves. And there are lots of folks who think the world needs changing today. Except there are billions of people in the world. Millions and millions of people just in the United States. A few million within the state of Alabama. And among all those millions, a certain percentage, pick the survey you'd like, who are sitting in spiritual darkness. And in the region in the shadow of spiritual death. Even hundreds of folks right here in Atmore. Some of us, not all, but some of us have family members who don't know much about God and don't know God. And even in our own lives, there may be areas of spiritual darkness, certain attitudes or prejudices, habits and practices that keep that part of our lives in the darkness, in the shadow of spiritual death. Not much different than those Matthew described as living in the land of Zebulun, in the land of Naphtali. For them, those who lived in Zebulun and Naphtali, one day a man came to take up residence there. And with him he brought the light. In fact, he was the light. The light of the world. And he began to attract followers who saw in him the light that he carried and the light that he was. And though they didn't fully comprehend everything about him or his teaching, they knew that there was something extraordinary about him. And they wanted to learn more. They wanted to learn more about him. They wanted to learn more from him. You may be familiar with the story. He went about doing good, healing people, feeding people, enlightening people to the truth about God, according to Matthew, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Now, it wasn't always easy for him or for his followers, because the Jewish religious leaders viewed Jesus as this radical man who did not adhere to the classical teachings about the Jewish law. And so they opposed him. They came against him. And as we know, eventually would have him crucified. But it didn't seem to matter that it wasn't easy. Because, you see, Jesus was on a mission from God. And following Jesus and learning from him was life-giving. Those who followed this rabbi named Jesus and who lived in the realm of his light began to take on his characteristics, began to learn from him, began to even embody themselves his light. And as they did, his light began to shine in their own lives. They learned more about God and God's ways than they ever thought was possible. And as they learned, they changed. They began to see others as fellow travelers, as brothers and sisters along the journey of life rather than as strangers. And little did they know at the time, But they were beginning a movement that, as they moved out of their own darkness and into the light, would ultimately change the whole world. That's what the power of the light of Jesus did in and through them. And the light of Jesus continues to shine today. The words found in the prologue of John's Gospel continue to ring true. If you were to look there in John chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, you would find these words: "All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." And the light of Jesus continues to shine today. And that's good news for you and me. Because just like His first followers, we are able to recognize His light. We are able to walk in His light. And as we do so, we are able to embody His light. We can even, this is really wild, we can even become the light. Not because of who we are, but because of who He is. We can become the light. And we know that's true because Jesus said to His disciples one day, in Matthew's Gospel, as it's recorded there in chapter 5, verse 14, He said to them, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid." And as disciples of Jesus today, we too have the honor, the privilege of being the light of the world. And while there's still plenty of darkness in the world today, even here in Atmore, we don't have to be afraid of the darkness. Psalm 27:1 says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And of course, those are rhetorical questions asked by the psalmist, and the rhetorical answer is, I don't have to be afraid of anybody, because the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my stronghold. And because by the grace of God we have the light of Jesus within us, because by the grace of God we are the light of the world, we're not afraid of the darkness. We're not afraid of the darkness because we remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, where he wrote, "For it is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And we have that light. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. We've seen it in the face of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's been given to us by the grace of God. And with that light and the knowledge that comes with it, we have joined forces with those who began to change the world one person at a time over 2,000 years ago. Now, if you pay attention to the major news outlets, whether on the air or online, or even if you listen to a lot of the what I refer to as meaningless chatter on social media, you'll likely hear a message that at its root says something like this: "The world is doomed, and the world is going to hell in a handbasket." Well, a little bit of the sailor comes out in me once in a while. And I say, to hell with that message. Because it comes from those who sit in darkness and in the region and the shadow of death. And we sit in the light. We have a different perspective because we can see in the light what they can't see sitting in the darkness. We know the truth written in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, which say, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And because we are God's people, because we have received mercy and grace and love and forgiveness, because the light of Jesus Christ is within us and shines from us, we are the light of the world. We see in others, fellow travelers, brothers and sisters along the journey of life. We share the light of Jesus Christ with them, along with all the other marvelous things we've received from God as God's people. We share that light, yes, but we share mercy, we share grace and love and forgiveness. And we're only able to be this way because we can say with the psalmist, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Because God has shown into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Because we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that we may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That, friends, is the power of the light of Jesus Christ. Let us all walk in the light.